I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity to hear the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our path. It is through your word that we have direction for our lives, direction for our Christian lives, direction for our regular human everyday day-to-day lives, Lord. And so today we ask, Lord, that you will turn the lights on. Let the word of God and the light it carries shine powerfully into our hearts. Let it penetrate our thoughts and let it discern the intents of our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to every one of us. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus sent. Jesus said unto them,
My disciples, peace be unto you.
Peace be unto you.
My children.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, what a blessing. This afternoon, I have a short message to share with you about the power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus is how we get saved. Amen. Everyone gets saved through the blood of Jesus. And without the blood of Jesus Christ, nobody can be saved. Amen. So we're talking about the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Number one, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Now, it's important that we understand that Jesus Christ did not come to save a few people. He didn't come to save a particular race or gender or age group or professional group. You know, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29, the Bible says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. In other words, John saw Jesus coming, you know, and he introduced him to the people as, here comes the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here comes the solution to the world's sin. Hallelujah. Here comes the one who has the power to terminate the power of sin and wrongdoing in a person's life. Amen. That is why we say often, or the process of becoming a Christian is referred to as receiving Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. See, nobody is born a Christian, not even if you're born to Christian parents. When you're born to Christian parents who are active, who actively practice Christianity, what you do get is that a lot of Christian principles work their way into your upbringing. Do you see what I'm saying? A lot of Christian principles work their way into your upbringing, but they do not penetrate deeply enough to change the fountain of sin in a person. You see, which is deeply embedded in our hearts. It's our spirits. Do you see what I'm saying? So you get to be trained in a way. Yesterday I saw a little video, you know, it was somebody sent it to me, said about 3 or 4 videos you must see. He says, like, you must see these videos. Right. So I opened it. What's here? And one of them, here was someone walking his dog, and the dog was walking on 2 feet, the hind legs, just like the human being who was walking the dog. You know, and I thought the dog was going to do it for just a little bit. And, you know, some dogs like to show off. Or rather, it's their owners who like to show them off. So I thought it was just happening for just a couple of seconds and the dog will be, or would set itself back down. But no! The dog was moving and just moving like that and just moving like that. And it was on a leash, walking just a little ahead of the owner. And it just continued going and going and going until they turned around a corner. I said, this dog means business. The dog was walking the owner. Right? Yeah. So obviously such a dog has been taught some tricks and has been taught to behave like a human being. But I tell you that it won't be long before anybody is convinced that that was not a human being I saw, because it will soon go back to its doggy ways. Yes, it will start doing what dogs do. When it's time to eat, it cannot take a spoon. It cannot get hold of the cutlery and start eating like human beings do, because it's a dog. And you can teach the dog to do some few human tricks, but that's not what changes the dog into a human being. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the dog is a dog, is a dog, is a dog. Will be a dog on Sunday, will be a dog by Wednesday, and by Friday, it will still be a dog. And even if it kept walking all week on 2 legs, it will still be a dog, because it has the nature of a dog and can't help but behave like a dog. Do you understand? Yes. And that is the nature of a sinning human being. The Bible says, for all have sinned. Sin is the, perhaps just about the only thing we all have in common. That all of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. All of us continue to sin. And all of us will likely continue to do some sinful things as long as we remain here on earth, and especially in this human jacket called our bodies that supports sin. Do you see? So, the human problem is sin. And only one person has the answer to it. And the Bible says that that one person, His name is Jesus Christ. So when John saw Jesus coming, he was excited and couldn't wait to introduce him to his own disciples and his own people. And he said, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin problem of the world. The one who has come with the cure to sin. And that is why when people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have begun a process of having victory over sin. Victory over a problem that is destroying and continues to ruin mankind everywhere. You can tell, even sometimes looking at little children, that no, this thing called a human being, it comes wired with a problem. Nobody teaches a little child how to sin, even how to tell their first lie. Yeah. But right from the time they're infants and or toddlers maybe, little children, you can see them even sometimes faking things like sleep. You see them trying to deceive their parents, trying to deceive their mothers, pretending to be asleep when they are not asleep. You know, and pretending they want to be set down or something like that. And when you set them down, they are going somewhere. They have something on their minds. The other day I was with Kara in the street over there. And she was like coming to me as though she wanted to come to me. And I found that strange because she never does that. Yeah. So I knew she was up to something. When I would stretch forth my hand and she willingly gave me her hand, not knowing that Kara wanted to go into the street. Do you see? And I was a facilitator of that vision. You get it? If she came to me, I was going to help that vision to be fulfilled in her life. So she was coming to me. As soon as she got into the street, that was it. And she didn't want to know. And even when I tried to carry her then, and I was just following my previous favor. And I tried to carry her. And she says, no, no. She doesn't want anything to do with me anymore because she's got what she wants. You see, these are all traces of sin. Early signs and early symptoms of sin in a human being. So Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. When you think Jesus, think of the master solution to sin. Think of someone who has the capacity to take away sin in any form, sin in any expression, sin in any language, sin in any culture, sin in any race, sin among any people, sin in any country, sin in any gender, sin in any age group. Jesus has the master solution to sin. Hallelujah. Can I have an amen? Number two, the blood of the Lamb has the supernatural power to save you from the consequences of your sin. The blood of the Lamb has the natural, supernatural power to save you from the consequences of your sin. Hallelujah. To save you from the consequences of your sin. Now, sin has consequences. Sin, which is the transgression of the law, has consequences. We all know that you can't even break human laws and get away with it. Do you see? Sometimes you're forgiven, Sometimes it is overlooked, but everybody knows it is their due. Sometimes you over speed, like one time when I was driving between New York and Canada, and I was going, on this road, I think it's the 87 or so that drives, or 87 or 287, something like that. It rides you straight into Canada from New York. And as I was driving on that road, I felt, a temptation. it was a temptation that kept occurring to me. I was driving a rental. It was a Dodge Stratus. And the temptation just kept occurring to me, Pastor Charles. I felt this occasional, something, just to floor the accelerator to see what this car would do. But I kept resisting it. I kept resisting it and I kept resisting it. But finally, we were coming round this bend and I felt, why not? And just as I was coming round, I floored it for like 3, 4, 5 seconds and I was in the bend. So as I was just taking this gentle bend, I just came around and here was the street photographer. A photographer who decides to take photos only on the streets. His other name is police officer. So he was round the bend with his, the radar and just standing there like that as I came round the bend. I tell you, as soon as I saw him, he was out of his car, so he needed time to go get his car and all that and come after me. I felt there was no point. I just went to park. So I just pulled over and parked and waited for him to get into his car and drive up to come and meet me because I knew that I had sinned. I knew that the ticket was my due. So he walks up to me and he asked me, did I know how fast I was traveling? Of course I said no. So he told me what speed he felt I was traveling at. No contest because I had already parked. Then the next thing he asked, he told me that the fine for over speeding in this place is about $100 and something. Then he asked me, do you have that kind of money on you? Of course I said no. He said the wages of my sin equals $100 and something. And do I have that kind of money? I couldn't pay for my sins. And I said to him, no, I don't have that kind of money. So the next thing he says is, then I want you to promise me that between here and the border, you're going to keep within the speed limit, which was 65. That was an easy promise to make. So I said, yes, I promise. I'm not going to speed. And so he agreed and he let me off. He pardoned my iniquities. And he allowed me to just go. And of course, from that point on, the fear of God came into me. And I drove within the speed limit, even though the temptations continued. I had made a vow and I had to keep it. But yes, it is the case that human beings do have to experience consequences when we break the law and when we sin. At least when you're caught. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. I used to have a teacher in my high school days who said, you can do anything you want in his class. Just make sure you're not caught. He said, this is a free class. You can do anything you want. He just doesn't have to catch you. But if he catches you, you're in trouble. You know. And sin, human behavior, when it's out of order. Can we get some more seats, please? Yes. The families can sit together, okay? Just bring the family. Bring some seats from the back and just line them up right there. Let them sit together. Yes. You can sit with your family, you know, and as much as we love rows and columns, they are not the reason why we're here. Amen. Right. So, the wages of sin, when they are committed by humans, is the wages usually take the form of punishment. People go to prison, fines, etc. Now, if we human beings, with our petty laws, which even sometimes the ones who make them can't keep them. Do you see? Yes. One time I was pulled over by a police officer. Now, don't worry, this is all a long time ago. By the grace of God, I'm born again. Yeah. So those of you who are still getting tickets, it's a sign that you need conversion. Yes. Yeah. But this police officer pulled me over and he told me, I think he wrote me a ticket and told me that I was going to get points on my driver's license for that ticket because I was speeding again. And then he tried to encourage me when he saw that I was discouraged. And he said, I shouldn't worry and that even he has points. Right. Yeah, he told me even he has 3 points on his license. And so I shouldn't worry about the points. He just has to do his job. It was a good exhortation. I was really encouraged that this particular thing, even police officers can be guilty of it. So it's not a problem, do you see? So if we human beings can make laws which people break and then are in trouble for breaking those laws, what about the creator of the heavens and the earth? Who has made nicer things than any human being has made, and in whose world we live, in whose world we have created our own laws? Do you see? It's like we are, you know what a sublease is? You rent something from someone and then you become the landlord of the thing you have rented to another person. That's right. That's how it's working in the world. God has created his world and we have possessed it. And we have within his world and within the sphere of his laws, we have created our own laws, you see, and we punish people for breaking them. Do you get it? But I don't know if we ever think about God. Sometimes even our laws violate his. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes our laws that we have made as human beings, for which we punish people, violate what God himself has put in place. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that the blood of the Lamb has supernatural power to free us from the consequences of our sin. So the wages, Romans 3 and verse 23, The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Can you see that? Romans 3:23. The wages of sin, 6:23, I'm sorry. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, the wages of sin is death. Everyone who is guilty of sin deserves to die. Do you see? Now, the death we're talking about here is not just this physical death that everyone will experience. The way life in this body ends is that at some point you have to lay it down. At some point you have to lay it down. And there's no formula for, it's nothing like, you know, first come, first to go. It doesn't go by age, doesn't go by, although there are some things you can do just to cut the line, you know. Do you see? Yes, it can make you jump the line and put you ahead of others. But generally speaking, there's no formula. You can be the last to come, and sometimes you're the first or the next to go. So that's not what we're talking about. That's a human experience which all human beings share. And it's hanging on our heads, and whenever the time is up, it will show up. We thank God that we don't know when it is, so we can live some normal lives, isn't it? Yes. Do you see? However, there is a death, which the Bible calls the second death. Do you see? The second death. And the second death, you find that in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderous and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Can you see that? Right. Can you give us, you know, a version that explains all these big words? Okay. So, abominable, whoremongers, idolaters, sorcerers. I think the one we mostly recognize is liars, isn't it? Right. So show us. Give us another version. Give us another version quickly, and let's see. It says, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, and those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars. All liars. Liars of all grades, all shades. Right? Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Hallelujah. So you can see, at least we can recognize a few of these things as sins. Isn't it? Yes, some of them are even crimes. That means we human beings adopted them. You know, we put them in our criminal code. Do you see? From God. God didn't like them, and we also decided not to like them. You know, sometimes when you lease the place, the rules the landlord gives you, you just pass on to the tenant, the sublessee. Okay, so if the landlord says, close these windows at 7 o'clock. When you rent the place to somebody, you also give them that rule. You close this at 7 o'clock. So when they live in your place and they don't close the window at 7 o'clock, they are not only violating your rules, they are violating the rules of the original landlord as well. You get it? And so they get into trouble twice. You see, you can come after them, and then the original landlord can also come after them. Do you see? Right. So this is what is happening here. He says, cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars have their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And this is the second death. So when the Bible says, if you take us back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says the wages of sin is death. The death he's talking about here would be the wages of these sins we have listed here. You see, it says the wages of sin, that means anyone who is guilty of any of those sins listed there has earned a place or a spot in that lake of fire. We're reading the Bible. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I know that it's not very popular and you don't hear much about these kinds of things. Even people don't like to go to a church where they talk about a lake of fire. And they do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, people don't like to go to a church where they talk about hell and, you know, how people can go to hell and so on and so forth. But that's not what your focus should be on. Your focus should be on the fact that you don't have to go to hell. Because that's the message. The message is the essence of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you see? All I'm doing is trying to describe the situation that puts you in danger of death, for which Christ came to redeem us all. Amen. So who is guilty and who should expect to land or to experience that second death? Everybody whose sins are listed in the one we read in Revelation chapter 21. But beyond that, you see, that's just to give us a summary and to give us a few. Because when we read Romans 3:23, then you realize that whether your sin is listed or not, you are in there. Can you see that? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you see? So this one doesn't even need to give us a list. It's just saying that all of us have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen short of God's standards. And that by itself makes us sinners and has qualified us for the wages of sin. Hallelujah. So this physical death is not the only one we'll experience, but we'll experience the second death. But Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, remember, who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. And his blood, has supernatural power to atone for our sins, to take away our sins, and to remove us from the consequences of that sin. Are you getting it? So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Okay? From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. He says, we have not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. That means you can't buy your salvation, isn't it? Salvation is not something you can buy. If we could buy salvation, that would be unfortunate. Because then the rich would live and then the poor would die. Do you see? It means the rich can buy their way into heaven and the poor cannot do that. The poor would be condemned, and the poor, all poor people will go to hell. Do you see? So God has lifted our redemption above the reach of money. And so we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. We are not redeemed. Our Christianity is not a function of our wealth. Our salvation is not determined by what work we do or how much money we have or what we can afford to give in the offering. Our salvation has nothing to do with that. God has totally disconnected our salvation from corruptible things and has tied it to one thing only, which the Bible calls the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. The precious blood of Christ. That's in verse 19. It says the precious blood of Christ. With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. Right. So only the blood of Jesus Christ can save us. There is no one who is saved who has not had an encounter with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. The next one, number four, is that, or number three, the blood of the Lamb has the supernatural power to prevent death. Right? The blood of Jesus Christ has the supernatural power to prevent death. To prevent death. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. The Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." Amen. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Wow. This is a powerful verse, isn't it? So you understand why Christianity involves the blood, isn't it? Because Christianity, or coming to Jesus Christ, is coming to him as a sinner. You have a problem whether you feel it or not. Do you see? Yes. Sometimes we don't feel sinful because that's all we know. Even when someone continues to do something wrong, usually when you do the first one, you feel like you did something wrong. The second time, you don't quite feel like it is so wrong. By the third and fourth time, there's nothing wrong. And by the time you're doing it for the fifth time, you're ready to argue about what is the definition of right and wrong. Because even the wrong one is now the right one. Do you see? Yes. Sometimes you see people flying on the freeway. You can see that their conscience is gone. They've done it so often that they've even forgotten that there's something like a speed limit. Yes, there's no more speed limit. It's just, let's feel free. Do you see? Yeah. And so sin is like that. We have a problem, and the problem is the problem of sin. All humanity everywhere has that problem. And the proof of it is that even when we haven't met each other, our behavior is common. You'd be surprised that, you know, you may not have been to India before, but you go to India and you find out there are people who tell just your kind of lies, exactly the same. Do you see? Yeah. Because we all have, the Bible is true when it says all have sinned. We all have that problem. That's why there's a prison in every country. There's a place for keeping sinners and people who break the law, criminals. There is some consequence of crime in every place. The other day I was just thinking about if human beings could be trusted, I was thinking of how many inventions would be unnecessary. Do you see? Yeah. And this thought occurred to me because I was at the airport and I was in a long TSA line, or the security line. Yes. And I was in a long one and I was just thinking, what is all this? This is all happening because human beings cannot be trusted. Do you see? It should have been that when you show up at the... First of all, you should have been that. You should know that as we are traveling, we are all going from maybe LA, we are going to Houston or something like that. I mean, why don't we just go safely? You want to go to Houston and I want to go to Houston. Why don't we just go? Why do I have to suspect you might bring a gun or something along? Do you see? Yeah. And then even the other one where they check your ID... Why do you want to know if it's me who is going to Houston? I am here. I'm going to Houston. You get it? Yes, I'm going to Houston. Why is that even a problem? You see, whoever is on the ID does not even matter. You get what matters is the guy who wants to go to Houston, he has come to the airport. He's the one boarding the plane. Why don't you just put him on and take him to Houston? But we can't trust people. Before you know it, the one you put on the plane is actually still at home. And someone else has arrived in Houston. You can't trust people. Then after that, they have to strip you almost naked. Because they can't trust you. Then they have to take your bags through the machine. Because they can't trust what is in the bag. You could have anything from crabs to a snake to all sorts of things people put in these bags and try to bring them on a plane. No, you can't trust people. You can't take a man's word for it. You can't. It should have been when you get to the airport, they ask you, is everything okay? You say yes. Do you have anything dangerous in your bag? You say no. All right, get on the plane. And we wouldn't have had to be in that line. But no, people say no and it means yes. And people can't seem to, even with all those things there are people still trying to beat the system. So think about how many inventions would be unnecessary if we could just have or secure honesty. Just honesty. If you could say to your child, go to bed, and they would actually just go to bed. A whole lot of things would not be necessary. Yeah. But there are people who would go to the room and pretend to be asleep. And they are not asleep. They are under the covers. You know, a friend of mine told me that he sent his daughter to bed. And after a while, when he thought she should be snoring by now, he went to the room. When he opened the door, he could see the screen shining through the covers. Her phone was shining, the screen was shining through the comforter. The person was under, but not asleep. The body was in the bed, but the spirit and the soul. We have a problem, and the humanity does not have an answer to that problem. Do you see? And only the blood of Jesus Christ is supernaturally capable of atoning for our souls. Do you see? Because the Bible says there is life in blood. There is life in the blood. When you drain the blood out of a person, you drain out his life. When you drain the blood out of an animal, you drain out its life. It can't live anymore. Do you see? Yeah. So if it is life we're talking about, then life has to be bought by life. Life has to be replaced by life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's why the verse, let's read it again. It says Leviticus 17 and verse 11. Aren't you glad there's a verse in Leviticus you can understand at least? Because you don't know when the next one will come around. So let's take this one that we can. It says, for the life of the flesh. Let's read it together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Hallelujah. Yes. So the blood of Jesus has power to prevent death. Just like the blood of other human beings have power to prevent the first kind of death, which is the laying down of this body. Do you see? Yeah. Sometimes people become anemic and they need some kind of transfusion. They have to take the blood of another person and put it in this person so they can live. You see, and even there you can see sometimes the blood doesn't work. You see, all blood is not the same. Yeah, so there's some people whose blood does not work in other people. You see, and then there are some people whose blood works for everybody. They can give to everyone, but only some special people can give to them. Isn't it? Yeah, those are the saviors. Do you see? Yes. You see, so you see that the human blood even has a problem when it comes to giving life to the human body. But not so with the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ has life. Amen? And it is supernaturally able to stop people from experiencing the second death because it will wash away your sins. Hallelujah. Right. Number four, the blood of the Lamb has supernatural power to bring you back from the dead. The blood of the Lamb has supernatural power to bring you back from the dead. The blood of the Lamb has supernatural power to bring you back from the dead. Now, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Can you see that? The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That means Jesus was raised from the dead. God brought Jesus back from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Can you see that? Right? So the blood of Jesus has power to bring people back from the dead, in much the same way as the natural human blood has the power to resuscitate people and to give people life again, to make someone who was dying, you know, give that person another chance to live, to make someone, to bring someone from the brink of death, you know, back to life by infusing them with life. Because remember, we read the verse in Leviticus says that there is life in the blood. When the blood goes to a place, life comes there, isn't it? When a blood is removed from a place, that place begins to die. But when blood goes to the place, then life starts to come to that part of the body. Do you see? Yeah. Life starts to come to that part of the body. People have been known to have undergone amputations because blood somehow didn't flow to certain parts of the body and that part died. Do you see? And because it died, they had to remove it because now it can't live anymore. Hallelujah. So God wants everyone to have an encounter with this blood. Hallelujah. Because the blood has supernatural power to bring people from the grave. To bring people, a person who was destined to die. It says, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And all of us have sinned. It means all of us have earned the wages. Isn't it? Yes, all of us qualify to die. And to die that second death, which is to die from this earth and to go to hell. But God has sent Jesus Christ to save us from that sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then number five, the blood of the Lamb has supernatural ability to open the gates of heaven for you. God, the blood of Jesus Christ has supernatural ability to open the gates of heaven for you. Now, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 7 and from verse 9. Let's read on. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Go to verse 10, yes. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne. Salvation unto our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Hallelujah. Verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. Right? And then verse 12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Right? So then the next one, see, so notice who is singing. Go to verse 11. Verse 11 is saying who is singing. It says, all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. So the angels, I mean, picture it. This is in heaven. There is God. There are angels, they are what they call elders, and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces, and they were in worship, worshiping God. Then in the next verse, we are told what song they were singing, right? They were saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Then the next verse, verse 13, one of the elders, in spite of all the worship that was going on, couldn't get over his curiosity. Do you see? So he was saying to me, this is to me is John the Revelator, the one who wrote this. He's the one who had this vision and was in heaven, and he's reporting what happened. So the elder was saying to him, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Where are all these people from? You see, which people are they talking about? Go back to verse 9. Verse 9. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, they stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. Now, this is what the elder couldn't get over. The elder was shocked. He couldn't believe it. Perhaps the last he knew about humanity, all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So he was just wondering, where are all these people from, and how did they even come by these white ropes? So they were shocked, and this particular elder, he could not keep his shock to himself. So they had been singing, amen, amen. He was singing, amen, amen, and then he would just spy. I can't believe these guys have made it here. I can't believe who is here. I can't believe who is joining us. I tell you, are we also here? And so they were singing, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and what? Power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. As soon as the song ended, he quickly, verse 13, he says, he answered unto me, what are these who are wearing? You know, yeah, they're joining us in the song, and that's okay, but who are these guys? And whence came they? Hallelujah. You see, salvation is a mystery that baffles the entities in heaven. Yes. The fact that a human being can be saved. The fact that, you know, so I'm sure they are surprised. They are surprised when human beings turn down the offer to be saved. So the Bible says, actually, it says this is the condemnation. This exactly is the condemnation of man. That, you know, God brought, how does it put it? It says God brought light or something like that. And men chose darkness over the light. Can you find me that verse? Yes. It says this is the condemnation. This is the thing that condemns you. The fact that you choose to live in darkness when such a huge provision has been made. Have you found it? Yes? He says, and this is the condemnation, right? Okay, go back to verse, what, 16? All right, let's start from verse 16. John 3, 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't it? And then verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, so unlike what people think about Christ, Christ is a solution, not a problem. God did not send Christ to come and condemn us. That people should not feel bad because of Christ. People shouldn't be getting angry because of Christ. People should not be running away from Christ. Do you see? Because Christ came to help us. Jesus has only helped lives. Do you see? There's another verse in the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 26. You don't have to even, okay, you can go to it, right? He says, God sent Jesus Christ, Acts 3, 23, and we're going to come back to this, and then we'll hit our trail, okay? So John, what's the name? Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. It says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to do what? Sent him to do what? Bless you. And what's the blessing? In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus is a blessing. Jesus is a blessing. Jesus is a blessing. Jesus is not a bother. Jesus is not a pain. If you ever thought that Jesus came to put restrictions on you and to bother you and to cause you misery and pain and trouble, you misunderstood the whole thing. God sent Jesus to bless you. He said he sent Jesus to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's a help. It's a help. Because you left with your iniquities, you have only one destiny, which is death. Death because of your iniquities. Can you see that? Yes, iniquity is just a fancy word for sin. Do you get it? It's just when you come to church, the words have to get a little fancier, just so you feel a little different from the street. Do you get it? Yes. So sometimes we need to leave these words in there. Do you see? But that is Jesus. Jesus came to help us. He didn't come to frighten us. He didn't come. The whole talk about hell is real. But what he wants to talk about is deliverance from hell. You don't have to be in hell. It's just that the deliverance does not make sense until you are shown what you're delivered from. You see, it's not deliverance if you don't show the person what would have happened. Do you get it? Yes. One of the reasons why many of us are ungrateful and sometimes we don't even know what to say when we say, let's give thanks to God. It's because you don't know what you've been saved from. If God would show us what could have happened to you this morning, if you knew what the alternative could have been for you this morning, you would be praising God. You would be thanking God. But because you were not shown what could have happened, because you didn't see that vehicle or that truck driver who was almost falling asleep right behind you and was about to climb all over your little car, but you didn't see it. The angel of the Lord came between you and that truck driver, and so it didn't happen. So as you sit here, you are with zero gratitude because you don't even know it happened. You don't even know that thieves actually drove up to your house and were about to break into it. And for some reason, they just decided to stop. See, so when we don't see things or when we are not aware of them, we feel they don't exist. Do you understand? But you don't have to see everything. Because some of the things, if you saw them, you would never be the same. Right? So he says, he sent Jesus Christ to bless us in turning away every one of you from his sins. And then back to John 3:17. John 3:17, quickly please. Let's go back. John 3:17 says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. So Jesus is not a condemner. He's not coming to condemn us. But that the world through him might be saved. So if you're looking at how Christ or church or religion makes you feel, and it makes you feel dirty, makes you feel guilty, it's because you're looking on the wrong side of the equation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. You're looking at the dirt instead of the detergent. We look at the dirt for as long as there's no detergents. The dirt, we live with it anyway. But when the detergent comes, the focus must shift. Do you understand? The focus must shift. That's when you start to appreciate the detergent because it's coming to separate the dirt from you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, think about the shower. Don't think about the sweat. Keep your focus on the shower. And when you engage the shower, you find yourself feeling fresh. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So verse 18, what does verse 18 say? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's your state even before you meet Christ. It's not some new thing that is happening. No, it's not Christ who is coming to do that. Pastor Charles, you see the thing? Yeah. So it's not Christ. You're condemned whether you go to church or not. Whether you hear the word or not. That's not even the problem. That's you. The wages of sin is death. And all have already sinned. Do you see? Yes. All have already sinned. And no matter what new tricks we learn, and what new ways we develop to hide our sins, they don't change anything. Just like that dog I saw in the video is not going to change his doggy status by walking on his hind legs. Do you get it? Yes. He's not going to get an ID. He's not going to get a driver's license just because he started to walk on. No, he's still a dog. A smarter dog, yes, but still a dog. So the condemnation has occurred already. And Jesus is not now trying to condemn anybody. Are you getting it? Because he says, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then comes the next verse, verse 19. He says, and this is the condemnation. This is the point. This is where people are condemned. That light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light has come and people still choose to walk in darkness because their deeds are evil and the darkness seems more compatible with their evil deeds and they choose that. This is what is going to send people to hell. This is the condemnation. But Jesus came to take us away from that condemnation. Are you understanding it? So in Revelation, they were surprised. They were surprised in heaven that these people actually made it here. Is it possible? Is it possible that all these guys have made it into heaven and that elder couldn't get over it? I mean, he just kept talking about it the whole time. Even through the worship, through the song, they were just looking behind and saying, who has joined us in the service today? Do you see? Yeah. Take us back to that verse, Revelation. And then John answered. Verse 13, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Where did they come from? Right? Then verse 14. He says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. Right? And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Said, these are they, right? These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Wash their robes and make them white in the blood. Already we are talking about something supernatural. Because you can't put white and blood together. But their robes are white because the blood contains supernatural power. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It contains supernatural power. That is what the blood of Jesus is able to do. The blood of Jesus is able to turn things into white, which were not white before. Do you understand? You see, there's a verse, let me show you that one also. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. There's a verse there that talks about the exchange. It shows, it says, come now, let's reason together. Come now, let's reason. See, some people feel God wants to beat you and kill you, but that's not the whole point. You see, yeah. And sometimes when we're sharing Jesus with people, we give them the wrong impression. God rather wants to help you. Do you understand? Yes, the wages of sin is death. You can't do anything about it. And all of us are condemned to it anyway. Do you see? Whether we like it or not, it's just the way it is. Even the first death, the natural death, is also like that. Do you understand? Yes, all of us are condemned to it. I can imagine that sometimes God is just looking at us as we're doing little things to prolong our lives just for a little bit. You know, he sees you going, you know, walking around the block, exercising, lifting a couple of weights, and he's just laughing and just wondering, what's going on here? They're trying to extend their lives. By how much? Oh, no, so he doesn't die this week, but next week. And God is just watching us and just, well, the as for the sentence is there already. And whether it's delayed a little bit or is postponed for so many years, that's not even the point. It's not. It doesn't change anything. It's still going to happen. Do you see? Yeah. So it's not even a problem. The problem is this one. This is the one that God is concerned about. And when we are sharing Jesus with people, we need to help them to understand that Jesus came to help. He came to help. He is the answer. He's the solution to the problem. He's not the one creating the problem. Do you understand? He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He says, come. God is always inviting people. He says, come, let's reason, let's talk. Reason means there's an exchange of ideas, thoughts, explanations, whatever. Let's reason together. Let's think it through. You just come. Then he says, though your sins be as scarlet, do you see? They shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, crimson is supposed to be like a serious kind of red. You get it? Not reddish. It's decidedly red. Isn't it? Yes. And it says, even though they be red like crimson, undeniably, I mean, when you are red like crimson means there's no chance. You can't be described as nearing red or off red or orange or, you know, some type of in the red family. No, you are the family head. Do you see? Yeah. When all the other shades escape, you are the one who remains. So he says, though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They shall be as wool. Hallelujah. There is power in the blood for cleansing sin and for taking away debt from our lives. Hallelujah. And then the last one, the blood of the Lamb has the supernatural power to overcome the devil. The blood of the Lamb has the supernatural power to overcome the devil. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. The blood of the Lamb has a supernatural power to overcome the devil. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Can you see that? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of Jesus has power, isn't it? They are overcoming the devil by the blood, the power in the blood. The power in the blood overcomes the devil. It overcomes Satan. It overcomes evil. That's one of the reasons why we have communion. Because when you have communion, you are communion is like you know how you can buy something, you bought it, then they give you a receipt for it. The receipt is your proof that this belongs to you. Do you get it? Yes. Every time you lift up your communion, it's like showing the devil your receipt. Do you understand? Yes, it's like showing him the reason why you are entitled to anything you are about to claim. It's because of this. This is the proof of purchase. This is the proof that I'm entitled to good health. This is the proof that you have no power over me anymore. This is the proof that I don't have to live in sin anymore. You see, when you lift your communion like that, you tell the devil, you know something. Some time ago, yes, you could have a certain victory and dominion over me. Some time ago, you could condemn me. You could weigh things heavily on my conscience. Some time ago, you could make me sick. Some time ago, you could make me do things I didn't want to do. But not anymore. And this is the proof of it. 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 Hallelujah. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. And you have to believe it. Because that elder was shocked, I tell you. Because he was thinking red like crimson. Do you see? Yeah. He was only seeing red like crimson and scarlet. Those were the things, those were the thoughts he had about humanity. And he couldn't believe that all these people have passed the test and have made it here and they have joined our worship also. He was wondering, so do these people also qualify to worship the Lamb? And he asked John, because John is the one who was there from the earth. So he knew that John could have some information about these strangers from the earth. Yeah. Said, John, they look like you. You must know something about these guys. And John said, yes, you're right. These people have been redeemed. Redeemed? Yes. By the blood. He never thought probably that the blood had such power to make such a difference. And that blood is still working today. Do you understand? That blood is still working today. And remember, it is the blood. Look at it. When the people came out, not this one, but the other verse, the chapter 7, I think it was. Yes. It says they came from every nation. Did you see that? They came from every nation. They came from every kindred. Do you see? No, chapter 7 and verse 9. That's right. Yes. You see, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds of people. Hallelujah. Do you have another version? Can you change the version again? Change the version on this one. And it says, I beheld, after this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. Can you see that? They were from every place. The blood is blood that flows to every place. Every nation is washable by the blood of Jesus. Every kindred, every tribe, every people is washable. All people are washable. Everybody can be washed. So I can imagine how disappointed Jesus feels when he sees us sometimes walking past certain people because we have graded them as unsavable. This is not a group that can be saved by the blood. Or sometimes they belong to our tribe. They belong same skin color, same race, same language. But we have a way of classifying people. Sometimes even our own family members, there are some of them we feel they are too far gone. There's no need to waste any gospel power on these people. It's like, don't waste the blood. Yeah, don't waste the blood. You know how you can have some things you just feel, this thing is not worth washing. So you use it, you let it do its last wiping job, and then it goes to the trash from there. Yeah. It's the ones that have some life in them, you throw them in the washing machine. But apart from that, there are some, you just look at them, these ones are done. They are done. And sometimes we look at our relatives, we look at our friends, and we write them off. We're the ones doing the condemning, not Christ. No, Jesus is not condemning anybody. But we have condemned them already. Can you not think of somebody like that? Can you not think of someone at your workplace? Can you not think of someone at your school, you know, whom you have just written off and considered, this one will never serve God. This one will never, this person is not a church type of person. It's not somebody who can be saved. We don't waste our time on them because we feel that they are beyond the blood. No. According to this verse, there are people from every nation. First of all, they are too great to count. Too great to count. There are many, many, many more people that Jesus wants to save. Too great to count. Right? Remember, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The capacity is world class level. Do you see? Yes, it's at that level. The capacity of the blood is such that it will wash away the sin problem of the world. And that price has been paid already. If there was only even two of us to be saved, Jesus would still have to die. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You know, there are some things you buy, you have to buy more than you need. Isn't it? Because they just don't come in small quantities. Like what? Can you think of something? You always have to buy more than you need. What? Salt. Salt, right? Yes. I don't think they sell them by the meal. Isn't it? They don't sell them like that. So you have to buy a whole container. Do you see? But there's somewhere, you see, even salt you can reuse. You see, you can leave the rest and keep using it over time. But let's say if you wanted a teaspoon of Coke. Right? Say if you had a recipe and the recipe said you should add a teaspoon of Coke. How much Coke would you have to buy? You have to buy the whole can. And after you take your teaspoon, you won't know what to do with the rest. And that's when you start looking for people who could use some Coke. That's when you start looking for, are there any Coke drinkers around here? Because without that, your Coke is going waste. You can't believe that you had to buy a whole can of Coke just to get a teaspoon worth of it. That's what we do to the blood of Jesus. When we keep it washing only a handful of people or a room full of people, when the thing has the capacity to wash the sins of the world. Do you see what I'm saying? It's this blood that can treat the world, and the price is still the same. Whether it's washing two people or washing the entire world, it still cost Jesus his life. And he's paid the price anyway. So the next thing is he's hunting for people who can benefit from the blood. Because you can see. So can you put it back, please? Put the verse back. You see, you can see so many people. You can see so many people. He says, I saw there were too vast a crowd from every nation, every tribe, and people and language. Look, there's salvation for every language. Every language. Jesus Christ is able to make an impact in every language, among every people. That is why we are going to 190 nations. That's why our church has the vision to go to 190 nations. Because Jesus makes sense in every country. Jesus is not an African Jesus. Jesus is not a black Jesus. Jesus is not a white Jesus. Jesus is not for any particular group of people. He's not for people who speak French. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus is for everybody. They are from every nation. Jesus wants to wash. He wants his blood to wash some people in every nation. Do you understand? He wants his blood to wash people in every tribe. Today there are tribes that are not rich with the gospel. Yes. There's some evangelistic organization that does research on these things. And I saw once they were showing the unreached tribes of the world. Yeah, these are tribes who don't even know that Jesus died for them. There are people who don't know who Jesus is. There are people who think Jesus is some kind of water brand. Is it a type of a new kind of bottled water or something? They don't know who Jesus is. And that is why we must keep going. That's why we must keep preaching. That's why we must support evangelism. That's why we must. And thank God that we have a pastor who is willing to go to the nations and tell them about Jesus. The least we can do is to say, here is a little money to help you buy some fuel, or to help you buy a truck, or to help you buy some instruments, or to buy a microphone, and go tell them, go tell them. Because the plan is to meet Jesus. It's a Revelation chapter 7, the Bible is kind of ending. Do you see? And this is the final picture. This is the final picture. In the final picture, they were from every nation. They were from every tribe. They were from every people. They were from every language. They were from every place. So those who think that they will be speaking, because somebody told me that they will be speaking Spanish in heaven. Spanish is the heavenly language that will be spoken in heaven. Well, I have news for you. Look at it. Every language is there. So it won't only be Spanish. Do you see? Yeah. Every language will be there. And they will all be speaking and they will all be worshiping. The Lamb of God will be worshipped in all languages. Hallelujah. So let's believe in the blood. Let's believe in the power in the blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you meet somebody, boldly offer them the blood. The blood doesn't need any apologetics. You don't have to. The blood will defend itself. Once a person encounters the blood of Jesus, the blood will do its job. You don't have to explain to anybody what acid does. When they encounter the acid will explain itself. Do you understand? Nobody explains fire to anybody. Do you remember a day when anybody taught you what fire was and what fire does? I think when you had your first experience with fire, you knew exactly. Fire nicely introduced itself to you. Yeah. That is how the blood of Jesus is. It needs no introduction. It needs no explanation. Anybody who's had a true encounter with the blood of Jesus knows what it does. Because their lives have been transformed right before their eyes. They are their own testimony. They are their own testifiers of what the blood has done for them. They don't need anybody to explain. I mean, somebody was trying to argue with another person about what the blood of Jesus does. You can't convince me. It's my own life. I mean, once I was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Are you going to take that away from me too? No. The blood and its work, self-explanatory. The blood will defend itself. Ours is to introduce people to the blood. Ours is to let people know that there is a power. There is a power. And once you encounter that power, you will never go back. Hallelujah. Let's believe in the blood. Let's believe in Jesus. Let's take the gospel to the world. Let's not be afraid to share the gospel with anyone. Let's not leave people misinformed about what Jesus came to do. He came to bless them, not to bother them. It's your privilege to know Jesus. Jesus is not a problem. Jesus is not somebody who came to bother people. Jesus, the other day when we went on outreach, what was Joel saying in when we were on outreach? He said, Jesus didn't come to stop the party. He came to start it. Yes, he came to start the party. He didn't come to stop anybody's party. The problem is sometimes you think you're happy having a party and you're not. You're calling it a party because you haven't gone inside to the real party. Yeah, you're on the outside. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Jesus is the best thing that happens to anyone. And those of you who have found Jesus, hold tight unto him. He's the best thing that could happen to anyone. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Sing it again. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to pray this afternoon and thank God for his blood. Thank God for sending Jesus. Just thank him for giving Jesus and sending him to die for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for sending your blood. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for washing us with your blood. In the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, because it is the blood that qualifies us to come before you, Lord. And we pray, Father, that as the blood will never lose its power, we pray, Lord, that you will embolden us, open more doors to introduce and expose more and more people to the blood and what it can do for them. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to lead everyone in a prayer this afternoon. If you want to be washed in the blood of Jesus, I want you to just say this prayer with me. You may be online, you may be on Zoom, but you're right here with us this afternoon in this service. And we all want to apply the blood of Jesus to our lives. and to be sure that we are washed and cleansed by it. So I want you to lift up your right hand. Everybody, just lift up your right hand with me and say with me, Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood.
Thank you for your blood.
Thank you for shedding your blood for my sake.
Thank you for shedding your blood for my sake.
Say, I know I'm a sinner.
I know I am a sinner.
And I know you died for my sins.
And I know you died for my sins.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash.
Let your blood do what it does best.
Let your blood do what it does best.
To wash me.
To wash me.
And to cleanse me.
And to cleanse me.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe in the supernatural power in your blood.
I believe in the supernatural power.
I know your blood can change me.
I know your blood can change.
Though my sins be as scarlet.
Though my sins be as scarlet.
Though my sins be like crimson.
Though my sins be like crimson.
You are able to wash me
like snow.
You are able to wash me like wool.
You are able to wash me.
You are able to cleanse me.
You are able to cleanse me.
And break the power of sin over my life.
Break the power of sin.
And break the power of the enemy over my life.
Break the power of the enemy over my life.
Thank you for the blood.
Thank you for the blood.
Thank you for salvation in the blood.
Thank you for salvation in the blood.
Thank you for healing in the blood.
Thank you for healing.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood.
Thank you for your blood.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Now, get your communion. We have communion at the back. And so if you don't have yours yet, just go to the back and grab your communion. Can some? Okay, great. Thank you. Yes, everybody would have to take one for yourself because of COVID-19. Just get your own communion from the back. There's enough for everybody. I want everybody reach out and get yours. And let's have communion. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many believe there is power in the blood?
I believe.
There is power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing it again, there's power. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing it one more time. There is power. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Of the Lamb, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to look at your communion differently today.
Yes. Amen.
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 And to literally believe what you just sung, which is that there is wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
You're holding in your hand the proof of purchase.
Amen.
Proof of deliverance. Amen. Proof of healing.
Mm.
Your entitlement to being healed in your body is right there in your hand.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is how those people qualified They beat the heavenly security and they were in there. I tell you, the elder was shocked that these guys had come in here too. But that's because they knew someone at the gate.
Wow.
The blood.
Amen.
The blood.
The blood.
The blood let them in, I tell you.
Amen.
The blood qualified them. The blood said, you can come in.
Amen.
And today the blood is speaking and saying the same things.
Amen.
The blood is letting people in.
Amen.
It's letting people into salvation. It's letting people into healing. Is letting people into deliverance.
Amen.
The blood is breaking habits. The blood is empowering people to say no to sin and evil. The blood is helping people.
Amen.
There's power here today. I want you to take the bread and let us pray. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. The Bible says it is because you loved us. It was not because you wanted to condemn us, but it was because you wanted to give us a chance. And so thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to be saved. Thank you for the evidence. Thank you for the proof that we have that even we can be called legitimate sons and daughters of God. We can expect to walk in the strength, the power, and the grace of God and every blessing that the blood confers upon us. Thank you, Lord, for this. We pray that you redeem these natural things. The body and the blood, the bread and the wine, Lord. And transform them into the supernatural elements that they are in the name of Jesus. Let eating and drinking of the body and the blood be a supernatural experience for everyone. Let it be an encounter with the supernatural. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your blessing.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now take the bread and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Say it again. Say the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
And you may eat it. And take the wine. Hallelujah. I love this part because this is the thing that forgives and washes away your mistakes.
Amen.
Anybody here ever made a mistake? Have you ever made a mistake? Is there anyone who's made a mistake? Is anyone who can think of something you regret? Can you think of something you regret but which is affecting you up to today? Can you think of something like that? Right. This is the neutralizer. This is the thing that will dilute its power over you. And neutralize it. And break that power. Hallelujah. Say with me, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Say it again. Say, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
You may drink it. It reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. Everybody sing. It reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. And it flows
to the low west valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Hallelujah. Amen. Lift up your hands for a blessing. Father, we thank you for the blessedness of this afternoon. Thank you for the power in the blood. Thank you for sending Jesus to bless us. Thank you for the blessing that Jesus is in every life that has embraced him. Thank you, Jesus, for what you continue to do in our lives. You said to come to you so we can reason together, and that though our sins be red like crimson, they will be like wool, because only you can change people's lives. Today we embrace the change that you bring to us. Every darkness in our lives is turning into light. Every weakness is becoming strength. Every sickness is being replaced by healing in the name of Jesus. And death, those who carry the sentence of imminent death, Lord, they are being translated to live their full and complete lives in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for favor. We thank you for your blessing upon your people, because you sent Jesus to be a blessing. Thank you for the blessedness of having Jesus. May we experience that blessing every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. In the coming week, may we walk as blessed people. May we walk as people who have encountered the blood. Let nothing rise up in our lives that cannot be sorted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let no plan of the enemy succeed, because the blood will stand up and speak in our defense in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the power in the blood. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I have victory in the blood. Say victory over sickness in the blood. Say victory over poverty by the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Let's receive our offering and our tithes, and then we'll close. Amen. So let's receive our offering and our tithes. Bring or come with your offering, your tithe. Come to the front if you have your tithe with you, and let us pray. Let's pray. Just walk up here if you have your tithe with you, and we'll pray. Hallelujah. Oh, come with your device also, and we'll pray. Thank you. Father, we thank you for the privilege of having jobs. And we thank you for the blessing of being in good health to remain relevant to those jobs. Thank you for the intelligence you have given us. And thank you for the power to deliver on the job. We come to you with the first fruits of our increase from our jobs. And we know that it is you who has given us power to make wealth. Bless your people, Lord, as they think about your house, as they think about your work. Bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. As they think about bringing meat to your storehouse, let there be meat in their storehouses also. May their homes be filled with more than they can eat. in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless them with abundance. Yes. Let their baskets and their storehouses overflow in the name of Jesus. Whatever they have been to your house, may you be to their own homes and to their lives. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.